Cross-examination?
Yes, Your Honor. Let's return to the last point, Dr. Zarnik. You said you remember my general question on direct about whether you solicited comments from Illumina scientists as to whether the company would be better off with you there. I take it from your answer here today in which you said no. By that, I take it you mean you don't consider Bob Kane to be an Illumina scientist?
Bob is an engineer.
You did solicit such a comment from Bob Kane?
I asked Bob if he didn't think Illumina would be better off if I were still there.
That's exactly the question I asked you on cross-examination, correct?
I don't remember.
Today, at least, you are acknowledging that you did, in fact, ask Bob Kane, wouldn't Illumina be better off with me?
That's a simple fact.
Now, in this redirect examination, you have said that bringing this lawsuit was a very big deal, and you denied that you would do so just... You denied that you raised a discrimination claim merely as a negotiating tactic, correct?
I would not, did not, raise it as a negotiating tactic.
That's what you told Mr. Pantone within the last 45 minutes, correct?
Yes.
Isn't it true that you told your therapist, Dr. Malinger, that the potential of bringing a lawsuit against the company was a big deal?
I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
Okay. Do you remember telling Dr. Malinger that you wanted to obtain leverage against the company?
I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
And let me ask you this. Do you remember telling Dr. Malinger in a group therapy setting that you wanted to use guerrilla tactics to undermine Illumina?
I can't imagine saying that.
So I take it your testimony is you don't recall that either?
And I can't imagine saying it.
You gave testimony. Now this is very interesting. You gave testimony on your redirect about the use of ID cards to enter the Illumina building. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It is your suggestion here in court that if Illumina really wanted to demonstrate the number of hours you were at work, it could have produced records, correct? You said that?
Yes, I did.
And you said that that is because the card registers not only the identity of the person entering the building, but also the time at which the individual left the building.
Yes.
But the reader, Dr. Zarnik, does not record the time you leave the building. You don't need to use the card to exit the building, do you?
My recollection is you did.
You are sure about that?
Best of my recollection.
To coin some of your earlier words, are you absolutely certain, no doubt about it, that that card reader recorded the time that somebody left the building?
Argumentative.
It is argumentative. I sustain the objection.
Are you sure? Have you ever seen with your own eyes any record log that shows the departure times recorded of Illumina employees?
No, I haven't seen with my own eyes any logs.
Okay. Has anyone ever told you that the card readers keep track of the time that people leave the building? Has anyone ever said that?
Has anyone ever told me? I worked there for a year and a half.
That isn't my question. You've admitted you've never seen any records documenting times that people leave, correct?
I have seen no records whatsoever.
And I'm asking you whether anyone affiliated with the company ever told you that a card reader recorded the time you left.
No, I don't think so.
And in fact, wouldn't you agree with me that if the card reader only recorded the time of your entry into the building, but if no recording was made of the time you left, those recordings of your entry times alone would be irrelevant. They wouldn't show how long you were in the facility.
No, I don't agree with that statement. If all it did was record the time you arrived, it would tell you the time you arrived.
But it couldn't tell you how long you remained.
Given your setup, yes, that's correct.
Now, Dr. Zarnik, you talked about the summer of 1998 and the preparation of the business plan, remember?
Yes.
And isn't it true that throughout your employment at Illumina, you from time to time would send work documents that you may have prepared at Illumina to your home address, zarnik@sandiegoroadrunner.com?
When we were at Town Center Drive, yes, but not during the summer.
Did you retain any copies of the draft sections of the business plan which you claim to have produced?
Yes.
And you have disputed, I think, in this litigation, the amount of contribution that you made to the business plan, correct?
Well, the number that John has used in answer to this question are between 2 and 4, and whether... And it's more than four, so none of those were correct.
Now, at no time during your examination did we see evidence or documents showing what you believe your actual contribution to have been.
I think that neither of the attorneys showed that, yes.
Now, with respect to business activities before and after your disclosure of depression, let me first ask you a very general question. You said that John Stulpnagel, was sort of the gatekeeper of business development opportunities because he was the VP of business development. And you said that any time you or Mark or Rich Pytalewski got an opportunity, it needed to be referred to John and John would follow up.
We had all agreed on that.
Can you identify for me any business development referral that came to you and that ultimately resulted in a business relationship between Illumina and some company?
Objection. Relevance.
Well, I had the...
I had objection. Relevance.
May I make an offer of proof, Your Honor? I think it's relevant to prove to the extent Dr. Zarnik claims he was excluded from business development activities on account of a disclosure of depression, there may be alternative explanations.
They've taken the position in the case he wasn't excluded. You can't argue he wasn't excluded and offer an explanation as to why he was excluded. It's one or the other.
The objection is overruled.
Can you identify for me any business development referral which came to you and which resulted in an actual business relationship with another company?
Well, Jay Flatley came from Amersham, and the first contact with Amersham was through me.
Are you trying to take responsibility for bringing Jay Flatley to the company as CEO?
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay, maybe I need to further define business relationship. Were there any referrals that came to you that resulted in a contract, collaboration between Illumina and another company?
As I've testified...
Actually, let me follow up on your answer once I've gotten a yes or no answer. If I define business relationship, sir, as something that resulted in a contract, a collaboration, similar to, for example, the ABI deal, the Chevron deal, about which we've heard a lot, did you bring anything like that to Illumina?
As I've testified previously, the presentation that I gave, at which Mike Albin was present, and the dinner at which I spoke about the company with Mike Albin, that evening was a factor in bringing ABI to Illumina.
Isn't it true, Dr. Zarnik, that Dr. Stulpnagel had already had contact with ABI, or that Dr. Chi had already had contact with ABI before the first seminar at which you spoke with an ABI person in attendance?
I know that from asking Mike Albin a year later.
How do you know that? How do you know it was a factor?
Mark gave a conference in November of 1998, which I had been invited to give, and I passed it to Mark. Mark gave that talk, and based on the material that's been presented here, someone from ABI apparently was in the audience. I don't know any of the specifics about that.
Are you now saying that the conference at which Mark Chi spoke was an opportunity that initially came your way, and you passed it off to Mark Chi?
That is the fact.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You say that after your disclosure of depression, you were, in your words, cut out of genomics business development activities, right?
Yes.
Isn't it true there were genomics-related business activities that occurred prior to April of 1999 in which you were not involved?
Yes.
And those would include discussions with Bristol-Myers Squibb?
Yes.
Those would include discussions with Sirion?
Yes.
Those would include discussions with Monsanto?
No, I was involved with Monsanto.
Those would include discussions with Celera?
Yes.
Third Wave Technologies?
Yes.
Those would include discussions with Pyrosequencing?
Pyrosequencing came to Illumina through me as the first contact.
Even though the discussions were involved before your disclosure, you were not involved after the first contact?
I hosted Mustafa's visit to Illumina. He wrote to me, asked if he could visit. I hosted his visit. All that came pre-April.
But these others that I've talked about where you haven't added qualifiers, like Bristol-Myers Squibb, Sirion, Celera, Third Wave... All these are genetics-related discussions that happened before your disclosure and in which you were not involved.
Yes, that's correct.
In fact, among those is also Smith-Kline Beecham, correct?
I wasn't involved with discussions with Smith-Kline Beecham.
And Smith-Kline Beecham involved genomics discussions?
I believe so.
Those occurred before your disclosure of depression?
Yes.
Now, you also said that, actually, Dr. Zarnik, it's clear that there were a number of genomics-related business discussions that occurred prior to your disclosure and in which you were not involved. True?
Yes.
And then you stated that after you were cut out of genomics discussions after your disclosure, which we've already established you've not been fully involved in before your disclosure, you said you are magically now on the Optical Nose Project, right? Those are your words, magically?
Magically only on the O-Nose.
Isn't it true that you had already been assigned to the Optical Nose Project from its very start?
No, we worked on the optical nose, what little there was, prior to April of 99. We did it as a threesome.
Isn't it true that...
The three of us.
You say as a threesome. You were one of the persons assigned to the Optical Nose Project from the beginning, correct?
We were all for one and one for all.
I'm not asking about all of us. I'm asking about you, Dr. Tony Zarnik. You were involved in the Optical Nose Project from its inception, regardless of the amount of work being done on it, correct?
In the Illumina timeframe, yes.
In addition, you understood, did you not, that pursuing the Optical Nose Project was a contractual requirement of the licensing agreement between Illumina and Tufts University, correct?
No, I don't think I did know that.
Did you come to know that?
I found out during this trial.
Now, Dr. Zarnik, do you feel that you have been in any way melodramatic in your description of the events that happened to you at Illumina?
Objection. Argumentative.
Do you feel... Withdraw that and ask a different question. Do you feel that you've exaggerated for effect?
Objection. Argumentative and no foundation.
I think it's very broad, too.
Let me reference part of your earlier testimony. You said that you had been pummeled by John Stulpnagel during the April 6, 1999 meeting, correct?
Yes, I have.
You don't mean literally that he physically attacked you with his fist, do you?
Can I object that that's absurd?
That's what pummeled means.
That is what pummeled means.
If you take it literally.
Withdraw the objection.
You were using a term that has a different literal meaning to describe how you felt, correct?
To be honest, to me you could be physically or verbally pummeled.
Let's put up Exhibit 307. Is this an email string dated August 16th and August 17th between you and David Barker?
Yes.
And you, in the bottom message, which is the original message, you are asking Dr. Barker to respond to some questions relating to your relationship with Jay, correct?
Yes.
And you didn't get a response, right?
That's correct.
In fact, by this date, you no longer reported to David Barker, correct?
That's correct.
And your response on August 17th back to David Barker was, lack of response heard loud and clear. And you then tell him that you are not holding him, David Barker, responsible for the gang rape you'd experienced for the last 16 months, correct?
Yes, I absolutely said that.
At that point in time, isn't it true that 16 months was virtually your entire employment with Illumina?
No.
Okay. How long had you been employed by Illumina by this date, August 17th?
For 26 months.
So you were saying that for the last 16 months, you felt that you had been gang raped?
Yes.
That's what you were communicating?
Yes.
You don't mean, since we've just discussed the use of the term that has different literal meanings, you weren't suggesting that you had literally been gang raped.
Argumentative at this point.
I think that's pushing things, yes.
Let me move on. With respect to the negotiations, let me not go to the negotiations. You say, Dr. Zarnik, that you believe that you were not provided with a bonus in connection with ABI, and you took issue with that because a part of the work that went into developing the product to be delivered to ABI was work that was done in your work, chemistry, correct?
That's one of the reasons, yes.
Isn't it true that there was also work that had to be done by the engineering department under the leadership of Richard Pytalewski that was also necessary to produce this product to deliver to ABI?
Yes.
And you are not contending, are you, that Mr. Pytalewski was illegally discriminated against by not receiving a bonus for ABI, are you?
I have enough with my own complaints.
You are not. Have you ever entertained the idea that Richard Pytalewski was being discriminated against on an illegal basis by not receiving a bonus for ABI?
Objection.
What's the ground?
Relevance and lack of foundation.
Let me lay a foundation. You are aware that Mr. Pytalewski's group also contributed to the same product?
Yes.
You are aware Mr. Pytalewski also did not get a bonus in connection with the closing of the ABI deal, correct?
Yes.
You are aware the only two persons from Illumina who were actually involved in the active negotiation with ABI and who closed the deal were John Stulpnagel and Mark Chi, correct?
In the active negotiations, that's correct.
That was my question.
Your question was active negotiations and closed the deal.
The person who closed the deal was John Stulpnagel?
I actually couldn't speak to that because I wasn't involved.
You didn't close the deal?
No.
And isn't it true that Mr. Pytalewski was also a senior manager at the same time you were?
Yes.
Now, in some of your testimony about the ABI relationship, you said all three of us worked on the ABI deal. Is there any reason in particular that you referred to three rather than the four, which would have included Rich Pytalewski?
Yes, Mark, John, and I spoke regularly about business development, business strategy.
Well, isn't it true that the ABI talks started in or about February of 1999?
You mean the presentation that I gave?
No, I'm talking about the negotiations with ABI.
They started about the time that I gave my talk that Mike Albin was at.
In fact, didn't they occur before the talk that you gave?
To the best of my recollection, no.
Isn't it true that Richard Pytalewski did participate in the talks, the internal Illumina talks about the ABI deal?
I think some yes and some no.
Let's put up Exhibit 49. Let me ask you first, what was the date of your talk which you believe contributed to ABI coming to the table and negotiating with Illumina?
It was in February of 1999. I don't remember the date.
And do you have any reason to dispute that Illumina had already had a meeting with ABI by February 19th, 1999?
I don't have reason to dispute it.
Now, there seemed to be some suggestion in the examination on your goals that you're... You say that you had been working on your goals that you say you, David Barker, and Jay Flatley agreed to, right?
I had been working on some of those goals, yes.
Those are the goals that you originally proposed. In other words, the one that had roughly eight categories.
Yes.
Let's put up the ultimate goals document, 227, I believe. And as Miss Bishop is getting that up, let me ask you this. There had been a lot of questioning by Mr. Pantone about the fact that no experimental work had been done on the two experimental goals. Do you remember that?
Beyond the scope. This wasn't covered.
With respect to the work that you did concerning the experimental goals, isn't it true, Dr. Zarnik, that you received these goals on or about May 19th?
On May 19th.
On May 19th, okay. And isn't it true that it is normal protocol at Illumina, when one is actually doing experiments, that you put the results of that work into a laboratory notebook?
If you're doing something that's novel and needs to be recorded, yes.
And certainly if you had been doing an experiment to demonstrate, for example, to demonstrate ability to encode or to show experimental proof of concept, those are things you would put in a lab notebook, correct?
Parts of it you would, and parts of it you wouldn't.
Certainly you would have some commemoration of that in a lab notebook.
Yes.
Isn't it true that even though you received the goals on May 19th of 2000, you didn't even ask for and check out a lab notebook until July 21st, 2000, 60 days, more than 60 days into the goals?
I did get some lab notebook on July.
I believe July 21st?
Sounds right.
Now, the invention or the proposed project of binary oligoencoding, that's something you already testified you developed or you thought of, correct?
Yes.
You did so in 1998, right?
Yes.
And you didn't do any work on that invention or idea until it was assigned to you as a research fellow goal in 2000, correct?
Absolutely correct.
And that's during the time that you were chief scientific officer, right?
Yes.
Now, you also said, with respect to Golly Steinberg's work, you certainly don't have independent knowledge of what Golly Steinberg did, correct?
The only knowledge I have is what was testified to during these proceedings.
You haven't looked at her lab notebook, correct?
No, I have not.
And you say that if Golly Steinberg had done the work as described in trial by David Barker, and I think you created some question as to whether or not that was an accurate portrayal by Dr. Barker of what was done.
Argumentative.
Did you mean to create any suggestion that the work of Golly Steinberg as described by David Barker was inaccurate?
I know from personal experience that many times what Illumina has said is not what was.
Okay, let me ask you this. Were you aware during the pendency of this litigation that your counsel in fact did set a deposition date to take the deposition under oath of Golly Steinberg?
Hold on. Irrelevant. Argumentative.
Sustained.
Are you aware that a deposition was set of Golly Steinberg and taken off calendar?
Same objection.
Sustained.
Let's go to Exhibit 322. I guess it's 320. Enter the attachment. This is the self-evaluation. Let's go scroll down to item, the page that had those accomplishments, numbered accomplishments. Let's scroll down to accomplishments 16, 17, 18. You listed in your self-evaluation as one of your accomplishments during the review period, recording your work in a laboratory notebook, right?
Yes.
You also recorded as an accomplishment collecting information for Jay on a new Boston-based genomics company, U.S. Genomics. You see that?
Yes.
Isn't it true your contacts with U.S. Genomics were related to your job search for a position with U.S. Genomics?
I did not have an ongoing job search.
I didn't ask if it was ongoing. Didn't you engage in discussions with a headhunter regarding a potential position for you at U.S. Genomics?
Did a headhunter contact me about that position? Yes.
Did you communicate to Jay Flatley in an email you may receive a call from the president of U.S. Genomics and suggesting, I don't care what you say, but in fact, let's find that email, put it up. I'll come back to it. Now, with respect to the 768 decode experiment, that was done during the summer of 2000. Did you go and talk to directly to any of the scientists who actually did the decoding work and talk to them about the dye issue? And these people I'm including are Jim Bierley, Kevin Gunderson, Monica Malewski, Bahram Kermani.
I talked with Bahram. I talked with Monica. I talked with Jim Bierley.
Did you talk? Okay. When you talked to Monica, it was relating to the fact that the dye was mislabeled, correct?
And her interest in getting a credit, yes.
Let me ask you, in your discussion with Monica Malewski, did you ask her whether the mislabeled dye was used by itself or whether it was mixed with other dye?
No, frankly, it never occurred to me it would have been mixed with other dye.
In fact, it didn't occur to you because you didn't know the mechanics of the dye used in these decoding experiments. And by that I mean, Dr. Zarnik, you didn't know how many vials were used in an experimental run, correct?
Did I know how many vials were used?
Yes.
No, I didn't know how many test tubes were used either.
That's right. You didn't know the details of the experiment.
I didn't know how many spatulas they used.
Well, there's a lot you didn't know then.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff I didn't know.
Did you ask Jim Bierley any questions about whether the mislabeled dye was used on its own or in conjunction with another dye?
No.
You didn't ask that question of anyone. And you testified that you only just learned about that in connection with this lawsuit, correct?
Yes.
Now, you understood, did you not, that Kevin Gunderson was the scientist heading up the 768 decode experiment in question, correct?
Yes.
And you were personally present during the deposition of Dr. Gunderson, were you not?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, I was.
Isn't it true, Dr. Zarnik, that during the depositions that you have attended in this case, you have frequently passed notes to your counselor with suggested questions?
Objection.
You've participated indirectly in the questioning process.
Irrelevant.
Sustained.
Now, Dr. Zarnik, Is it your contention that Illumina's current status of decoding is based upon wrong results and wrong science?
Your Honor, you wouldn't let... I'll object that it's irrelevant, given your prior rulings.
Is this getting into his general concerns about science?
No.
Is it particularized with his problems with the 768 decoding experiment?
I'll make the particulars. Despite the concerns you are now raising, your purported concerns about the integrity, worth, validity of the 768 decode experiment that was done during the summer, the fact of the matter is, as to the Illumina shares of stock in which you were fully vested, you have sold very few, if any, of those shares to date, correct?
That's not correct.
How many shares have you sold?
At this point, I've sold almost all of them.
Was that... That wasn't the case at the time of your deposition, correct?
No.
And I think what may be a final area of inquiry... Let's go back, if we may. We need to address this, and then I have one more question.
You want to address something with the court?
Yes, please.
You want the reporter?
No. Now, Dr. Zarnik, you offered testimony today that Steve... You testified about losing... Not losing... Your goals being on top of your desk, and suddenly the next day they were gone. So you asked for another copy and taped them above your desk so they wouldn't disappear again, right?
Yes.
Isn't it true you made a point of drawing other scientists' attention to your goals once they were posted above your desk?
No.
And so if other scientists testified that you drew their attention to your goals, you would disagree?
I think I did draw Steve Barnard's attention to my goals.
So just a moment ago, you said no, you didn't draw them. Now, you are saying you may have done so with Steve Barnard.
Argumentative.
Sustained.
Anyone else you may have drawn, whose attention you may have drawn to your goals?
No.
Okay. Now, when Mr. Pantone questioned you today, he asked what Steve Barnard said, and you said that he laughed and told you that the goals seemed designed to make you fail. That was your testimony?
Yes.
That's what Steve Barnard actually said to you.
I don't know word for word, but I'm paraphrasing what Steve said.
Let me read from your deposition testimony when I questioned you on this very same topic, page 823 in volume 6. Looking at the portion of your deposition, volume 6, page 823, I asked you in deposition, did you ever ask any of the scientists to whom you showed these goals what they thought of the goals?
I believe I did.
Who do you believe you spoke with on that topic?
I think I spoke with Steve Barnard one day.
What do you remember him saying?
I remember him laughing at the goals, and then he didn't say anything else.
Dr. Zarnik, you wouldn't have a different recollection because you've got something at stake in this litigation, would you?
Argumentative.
Sustained.
You reviewed all of the volumes of your deposition, correct?
Asked and answered.
Overruled.
I read them, yes.
And you made no corrections to any portion of the deposition, correct?
Correct.
Let's put up Exhibit 49-5. Let's blow this up, the bottom portion. Actually, let's go to 49-4.
How much more do you have, counsel?
Just a couple of minutes. Dr. Zarnik, do you recognize this as a board of directors packet from April of 1999?
Yes.
And at that time, when John Stulpnagel was acting CEO, you were still attending every board meeting?
Correct.
Let's go to the next page of this document. Let's enlarge this bottom portion. Is it your recollection, Dr. Zarnik, that as of April of 1999, business development and the status of business development discussions was one of the topics that was discussed at board meetings?
Yes.
Do you see here in this document an entry for PE Applied Bio?
Yes.
That's what we've known or referred to as ABI?
Yes.
Let's scroll up to see the whole part. It says business development. Let's enlarge that first line. So for each company listed in the business development, there's a column for the last meeting had with the company, correct?
Yes.
An entry for the last contact had with the company, an entry for the next meeting scheduled with the company, and a brief description of what that company's interest was with respect to Illumina, correct?
Yes.
Now let's scroll down and focus on the entry from this April 1999 Board of Directors meeting packet for PE Applied Bio. So this is showing, Dr. Zarnik, the last meeting actually held with PEABI for business development discussion was February 19, 1999, correct?
Yes.
And the last contact with ABI of any form occurred on April 6th, 1999, just 10 days before the board meeting, right?
Yes.
And it also shows that the next meeting scheduled with ABI was April 19th, 1999, correct?
Yes.
And isn't it true, Dr. Zarnik, that the talk that you gave, that you believe was in some way related to ABI coming to the table, was actually given in the month of April 1999?
No, it was February of 1999.
Now, where did you allegedly give a conference in February of 1999?
The meeting we're referring to is at UCSD.
And do you have any documentation showing that that meeting occurred in February of 1999?
Not on me.
Well, to the best of your knowledge, have you ever produced any in this litigation?
I don't remember. I've produced hundreds of pages of things.
But you will agree from this chart that certainly by February 19th, 1999, Illumina had already actually met with ABI for the purpose of discussing business development cooperation.
That's what this chart says.
You have no reason to disagree with the accuracy of this chart, do you?
No.
Nothing further at this point.
Anything further?
I think I have one question.